McLean, and welcome to Mentoring Nature Connections. I'd like to start by taking a moment to acknowledge the traditional territories we each find ourselves on today. For me, I live on Heritage Mountain in Port Moody, British Columbia. I overlook the Burrard Inlet, which is a coastal fjord beginning at the Strait of Georgia in the Pacific Ocean. This is the land of the Kwikwetlem First Nations. Today's episode is sponsored by Wilderness Awareness School. They are committed to helping children and adults establish healthy relationships with nature, community, and self. They offer a variety of programs in the foothills of the Cascades outside of Seattle. Their 9-month immersion program is a transformative experience for adults, covering everything from self-discovery to survival skills. You can also learn to become a coyote mentor, their signature art of mentoring children in nature with their 9-month nature instructor training. Wilderness Awareness School also runs workshops and intensives, youth programs, and the Kamana Independent Naturalist Study Program. Learn more today at wildernessawareness.org. Today, we're going to dive into a unique aspect of our BC curriculum, the core competencies, and how we can utilize the outdoor learning spaces and a variety of nature activities to support growth in this area. We have Kelly Shudo with us here today to help shed some light and fresh perspective on this topic. Kelly is a K-1 teacher in Surrey, as well as a K-2 math mentor for the district. She has contributed to our BC curriculum resource site by sharing her in-depth examples of documentation on how the core competencies live in our classrooms. She is also a children's book author. Her first book, which is one of my toddler's favorites, is titled, What Does It Mean to Be Brave? You will often find her presenting workshops on how to use the core competencies to create a deeper sense of self in the primary grades. Not only is she a busy working mother of two, but she's also about to begin her Master's of Education from Queen's University. Kelly, thanks for being here with us today. Could we start by doing an introduction into what the core competencies are and how they fit into your classroom routines?
So in my class, we spend a lot of time focusing on the core competencies. And because I work with littles and they're 4, 5, and 6 years old, it's really important for me to explain to them what these are. And so we start by actually breaking down the words core competencies. We generally refer to them as the triangles after this, but we talk about core, and we often talk about an apple. And we talk about like what is in the center of the apple. It is the core of the apple. And so when we talk about this word about ourselves, it's what's inside of us. So who are we on the inside of us that people can't see? So then we would break it down even more and say like competencies means what are we able to do? So at the core of who we are, what are we able to do? How are we thinkers? How do we relate to other people? And what do we know about ourselves and what our capabilities are and what our challenges are? And how do we communicate? And we spend a lot of time talking about not just communicating with our words, but a lot of time communicating with our listening skills and how important it is to listen more than we speak. And the third way of communicating is with body language. So often you'll see kids looking at another child from across the room and maybe making a not so nice face, and we'll stop and I'll make that face and say, how does that face make you feel? Like, what am I communicating to you? So if you have something that you're feeling unhappy about, use your words to communicate those rather than making those faces, because our body language also communicates. And then we, every activity that we do, we just talk about which triangle did we use today, because we're always using all of them, but which one really stood out to you today in this activity. And I never tell them which core competency I want them to choose, because I want it to be personal to them.
Thank you. That's a great overview of the core competencies. So now that we have that collective background knowledge and understanding, could you tell us how you introduce the core competencies to your learners? Do you teach it inside your classroom before taking the learning outdoors?
So we spend a lot of time just exploring outside, especially because this is the first year that a lot of these kids have been in school. And this year I've got a K-1, so we're lucky to have those kids who can really bring along the other kids as well. But before we do anything, we have to allow kids time to touch, explore, wonder. So we spend a lot of time just playing with materials in the classroom. And then we go outside and we play with materials outside and we touch and we learn how to be in nature. And we really just develop a relationship with nature and with each other as a community. Because if we can't trust each other and they can't trust me and I can't trust them, then we can't have a cohesive learning environment. So once we have established, you know, ground rules and what it looks like, and this is your wording, nature play versus recess play, and what that looks like, then I introduce the core competencies and I say, you're already doing this. These are things that you've already done. And I'll take pictures and put pictures up on the wall with I can statements. I can be a part of a group. I can share. I can think creatively. I can build. And really just stop and say, look, these are things you're already doing. All we have to do now is stop and think about the things that you're able to do and talk about it and talk about all the learning that we've already done.
So it's quite strength-based and competency-based. And you're describing how you document learning. But what I'm wondering is, are you talking about the core competencies in that moment, or do you reflect on it afterwards as a whole group?
I think in the beginning, we reflect maybe afterwards as it's being introduced. So that's when I would say, these are things you do. I saw you do them. Let's think about it, a time that you've done them yourself, and then they can start to see themselves. You know, as creative thinkers, and who are they as a member of the group? And they can really start to reflect on these things. How did I communicate with my friend? Again, once they're familiar with the language and they start to see these things in themselves and in others, which is also important, then we start to, it just comes out organically in the moment in these things that we're doing. Sometimes we'll even bring out the triangles and I'll say, pick the one that you want right now and put it beside, you know, the object that made you think about this. Or if we do a lesson where we're building something, and I'll say, come and grab your triangle that you want to reflect on today and put it there, and I'll take a picture and write their words down to capture those moments. So it kind of just comes up organically because it's language. It's not like a lesson we pull out and say, we're going to do a core competency lesson today. It's something that lives in our classroom every day, because we don't just become thinkers for one lesson. We don't just become good communicators for one lesson. These are things that are happening every day in every lesson. And so often we'll do math centers or, you know, go out on a forest walk and we'll come back and do circle. And I will say, pick the triangle or the competency that you want to reflect on today, because it's not always about the nature explorations, but it's about what they learned in that moment. So yeah, it's all just very organic, and I follow their lead once the language has become natural to them.
Now, you mentioned how the kids can grab their own triangles. Does that mean each learner has their own set of three triangles, one for personal social, one for communication, and one for thinking?
Yeah, so I do have a class set, and they're all printed in color on cardstock and laminated so they can go outside. But you don't need those. The other thing that we do is we actually just make a triangle with our hands. And when I introduce it, is I say, okay, what part of our body would we use when we're thinking? And then they kind of look around and watch each other. And it's really neat to see the first kids put it up to their head. And they say, yes, you're using your brain to think. And then I'll say, okay, the communication triangle. And all of them put it up to their mouth. And then I watch for those kids who are like, oh, and they put it over to their ear because they remember we have to be good listeners. And then I say, okay, now for the last one, the personal social triangle, what part of our body? And this is always the most challenging. And it's really, really neat to see the kids who all of a sudden put it up to their heart. And we go, yes, when you are personal social, you're using that triangle because you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking about others. And how can you support others? And how can you support yourself? And so you don't have to have the paper competencies. You can also just use those when you're outside in the forest or just exploring anywhere out on the field. And I've seen kids just put it up against their body and be like, oh, Mrs. Shula, look what I'm doing.
That's a great suggestion, that we don't need to have a physical example with us in order to teach the core competencies. So I really wanted to ask you now about your outdoor adventures with your learners, and if you could paint us a picture of how you structure your time outside.
So before we go out into the forest, we always talk about what we're going to do. We talk about our behaviors and what we want to see from each other and how we can support each other to be outside. Also, how can we support nature and make sure that we're all being kind and respectful of our place when we go outside. And then we always read a book just to focus our attention on something. And from there, sometimes we have specific ideas we're going out searching for, you know, like a shape walk or, you know, to notice changes in seasons or something. But often we'll just go and we will always walk the same route and check on the different places. So we have a place just down from our classroom door and we've named it Mushroom Paradise. And it's at the bottom of little bushes. And so they always peek in to see if there's any mushrooms growing. And, then we'll, you know, loop around and we'll go look at the new buds that are coming up on some other trees and which angles the branches are growing at and how they're the same and how they're different. And lately there's been some buds that are growing up and the tulips just bloomed right before spring break. So we were wondering what kind of flowers were going to grow. We carry on and we do our sit spots. And from there we cross the street and we go into the forest. And often what happens is when we do our sit spots or we go into the forest or we stop and we look at Mushroom Paradise, they start to notice things. We did a big 3-month inquiry on how is the forest like a family and how does the forest act as we do in a family and what are the different types of families. There's the forest family, our home family, and our school family. And our school family is very, very similar to what happens in the forest. There's grandparents and, you know, there's parents and then there's the babies and how they shelter each other. And naturally the core competency language just comes up. So they'll say things like, look at those, you know, grandma and grandpa trees. They're using their personal social triangle to protect the little trees. Or, you know, that moss is growing over there and it's keeping the trees warm. And, you know, they just naturally come up with these incredible things to say about how the forest protects itself. And they'll relate it back to themselves and say, well, why is that tree? Why does it have like thorns on it? What do you think? And they're like, it's for protection, just like our skin protects us. Or we can use our words to communicate when someone says something that hurts our feelings. We can, you know, protect and communicate. So they often say things like the trees are communicating to us, or there's actually a tree, a big cedar at the top of the forest where we start to loop back around to school. And we discovered a couple of weeks in a row that it probably took us too long to figure this out, but there's a root that has grown back up out of the ground and then gone back down. So it's pretty much just this big root that sticks out that is perfect to catch a foot in and trip people. And so the kids would always get really excited to go to our cedar tree and they would run. And for, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row, somebody always got tripped by this tree. And finally we stopped and we said, wait a second, this tree and this root is communicating to us. It is saying we are moving too fast around the tree and we all need to slow down and we need to be more respectful of the tree's home. So now whenever we see the tree, we always slowly walk over and everybody steps over this little root so no one trips on it. And then they get to play and explore and give it a big hug and all that kind of stuff. So I just think that, again, naturally this language comes up and it works so well with the lessons we're learning in the classroom and the books that we're reading, and they can start to relate how they live their lives and how they, you know, use these three triangles, and then they see it in nature. And I think that that's one of the number one things about the core competencies is it's not just reflecting on us, because so often we can see things in ourselves, but seeing it in other people is how we become a cohesive unit. Like that person is upset. Why are they upset? How can I support them? And maybe they don't even need my words. Maybe they just need me to sit with them. Maybe they feel left out. Maybe that block that they were building fell over. And it just gives kids, you know, that ability to take a step back for a moment and think deeper about why we're doing this, and then really think about how they can communicate effectively with each other.
I noticed that you're actually tackling a lot of environmental stewardship type of issues with your learners. I also notice how you're promoting empathy, which makes me think of Richard Louv and how he talks about vitamin N and nature deficit disorder. And I know we often say, you know, kids these days, how they're growing up without a connection to the land. So now that you're promoting that connection, are you seeing a difference in empathy and mindfulness with your learners?
I think the more time we spend in the forest and the more, and in nature, I think, and combined with the time that we have spent really exploring families, because families are something that kids know, well, good or bad, they know. And, you know, they can relate to being loved, or they can relate to feeling lonely or whatever it may be, but kids can relate to those things. And so often when we're out in the forest and reading the book, and you hear the trees talking, which is just incredible, the kids have started to see the trees in a different way and see nature in a different way. So often there'll be a tree with no branches, and they'll say, under the ground, that tree doesn't have anybody supporting it. It doesn't have another tree bringing it food and nutrients. And there's so much stuff happening under the ground that they didn't realize before. So I see them thinking deeper about why these things are. And there was actually one day that we went out and we had just learned that when two trees love each other and they intertwine their roots under the ground, they start to grow together because they can no longer live apart. And we were walking and all of a sudden they started screaming. And I'm sure all the other parents were in the forest were like, she needs to get a hold of our kids. But they started screaming, those trees love each other. They're in love. And we looked over and sure enough, there were two trees that had grown together and were intertwined. And it was just lovely. Like they are starting to see nature in a way that they work together, or nature in a way that, you know, maybe they feel sad and lonely and they have a lot of the same feelings that we do. Or if you see a worm, why should we not pick up that worm and carry it with us and drop it somewhere else in the forest? Because where is that worm's family? We have to leave it and look at it with our eyes and make sure that we're not disrupting its story of its life as well. So yeah, we have seen a big difference and it's really exciting. It's gotten pretty loud in the forest lately with all the excitement.
I love how you're investigating the stories of trees and other living things like worms. You make it so seamless to infuse the core competencies into your outdoor exploration time. Are there any other tips or suggestions you have for us?
I think the thing that really ties the core competencies together and allows kids to understand it is that the core competencies, along with all learning, don't live on a piece of paper. They don't live in a reflection sheet where we need to sit down and write what we had just thought and write a goal. The core competencies live in our authentic selves. And a lot of that comes from me as their teacher, showing my authenticity to them. And that includes telling them stories about my life and telling them when I've made mistakes and just being silly and fun with them and laughing and being a member of the community. Because then I can authentically reflect on myself. And often, you know, it's easier to see something in you when other people are seeing it in themselves. And then you go, wait a second, yeah, me too. Which is why it's so important that we share and that the teacher and that I am an authentic member of that sharing community. And then when we go off into nature, and you can just see so many of the kids, they just, you know, their worries about picking up a pencil melts away because all they have to do is be themselves. All you have to do is look, explore, and wonder, and there is no pressure to be anything other than who you are and talk about what you noticed and just be excited to be with this group of kids and know that you are supported and that we are all doing our best to help you to be successful.
That's so beautifully said, Kelly.
Yeah. I think people make the core competencies too hard. Yeah. I think they don't understand what they, yes.
Yeah.
I think they're like, oh, I have to do more. I have to fill out a reflection sheet to attach to the report card. Yeah. But you don't.
I'd actually also like to ask you about possible challenges or obstacles that we should be aware of when teaching core competencies outdoors.
So one of the challenges with, you know, trying to talk about and really get deep, meaningful reflections with the core competencies in nature is just my ability to reach all of them. And there's 19 kids in my class, and I can't sit and manage them all in the forest and hear their reflections all at the same time. And that's where the camera comes in. My phone is always in my pocket. It is with me always. And I actually call it my learning tool, because I don't want them to think I'm texting. But it is my learning tool, where I'm capturing their learning, and I just snap pictures with them all the time. And if I can, in the moment, if they say something, I'll just jot it down really quickly. But otherwise, we'll just go back into the classroom. And when we're having some downtime, we have peaceful time every afternoon, and I'll just call them over and show them the picture. And sure, maybe sometimes you'll lose some of that authenticity of the moment. But what I've found is one, that it is what it is. It's the constraints of our job. And two, that sometimes they come up with something different. And does it really matter if it's a different reflection if they're still learning to reflect? So it's just kind of me letting go of, you know, what I think that it should be, and, you know, that perfection, and really just letting the learning happen organically. And even if it's a few minutes, you know, a few hours later, then that reflection is still happening, and I consider that a success.
Well, now I definitely have to follow up by asking if you have any other suggestions for easy-to-use apps to document learning.
So one of the apps that I've used a ton this year is Clips. I discovered it during the online learning in the spring, and I used to use Shadow Puppet all the time, but Clips has been fantastic. And so often what we will do, we do one a month actually as a class, because parents can't come into the classroom this year, and we still want them to feel as connected as possible. So we will make a video once a month. We just take pictures, and I ask the kids what they want to show their families this month, whether it be a new bulletin board or routines that we have in the classroom. We've actually put the phone up in the corner of the room and then like fast forward it so they can see our whole story workshop routine. And but then the kids can actually, again, during peaceful time, I call them over and they voice over these videos. And so on Clips, we can capture those moments in the forest and videos, and I'll take pictures of, you know, videos of them in the forest, and they'll say like, bye, thanks for joining us on Forest Friday, and then send those off on, you know, the e-portfolios for the families to see. So for me, Clips has been fantastic, but there's also, you know, PicCollage is great for adding lots of pictures, and yeah, but Clips has been number one this year.
I haven't used Clips yet, but I know a lot of educators who use it and also highly recommend it. I was actually just introduced to the app KaleidoCam by Janice Novikowski, and I found it to be a really interesting way to help learners zoom in closely in a more artistic lens, because you have that kaleidoscope feature to it.
One of the other apps that I use with the kids is we have access to 6 iPads in our classroom at all times. And so we will, we haven't ventured yet, but our goal is to take the iPads out into the forest. And, you know, if we're doing something with core competencies or whatever we're doing in the forest, and the kids can work in groups and they can just take all of their pictures on the iPads. And then when we come back into the classroom, they can slide it into Shadow Puppet and they can start to tell stories or even document their own journey in the forest that day.
Well, I don't want to ask a ridiculous question, but since I don't know that app, are the learners actually adding puppets on top of the photos that they're taking?
No. So Shadow Puppet is just the name of the app. And all you do is you take pictures, you take photos, and they slide them in the order that they want to explain. So if we're doing like beginning, middle, and end, it's really great in the spring to show life cycles, actually, because then they can find, you know, a seed. And then they can find a sprout or a stem, or if I want them to show me what they learned about different parts of trees or different parts of, you know, whatever, they can take the pictures and they can put them all in order and then voice it all over. And then again, I take that and put it straight on their e-portfolio. It's actually pretty funny because they've learned how to airdrop things to my phone, and I'll get home at the end of the day and I'll find these videos that they've sent me throughout the day. And they'll like shout at me sometimes from across the room, like, "This is true. I just sent you something. Did you get that?" And they're 5 and 6, and it's pretty awesome. So just adding technology in is also pretty fun.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll have to add that onto my list. So lastly, I'd like to ask you if you have a novelty nature note that you'd like to share with us today.
All right. So we went for a walk in the forest. It might have even been the same day that we found the love trees. And one of the things that we had just learned about from the book that we were reading in the classroom was how trees fight, and a tree fight. And so we learned that if two trees of the same species are beside each other and there's another tree in between it, then under the ground, the roots from the trees of the same species will join and together and exclude the roots of the other species. And so we're walking through the forest one day and we saw these two huge trees that were beautiful and, you know, filled with beautiful leaves. And in the middle was a tree that was just dying. And the kids started yelling, "It's a tree fight! It's a tree fight!" And we learned that they at the crowns, they want to cover the tree in the middle so that it can't get sunlight. And they were, you know, they were joining at the crowns. It was just so funny because they were all yelling and they were so into it. And they were just so excited to see that they had found something that had just been explained to us in the book. So we thought that that was very, very cool. Everything that happens underneath our feet that we didn't even know about.
Wow, that's so interesting. Actually, my novelty nature note today is also about trees. Apparently, more than half of the tree roots grow within the top 6 inches of the soil. And to counteract that, I guess, lack of depth, that's why the tree roots grow out laterally so far. I read that in a mature oak, it can stretch hundreds of miles in length, which is pretty impressive. Thank you so much for our conversation today, Kelly. I found it to be very eye-opening, and I love hearing how you document with your learners and all those technology tips. I found extremely helpful. So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lauren. Any chance I get to chat with you, I will take it.
Well, it's always nice for me to have conversations with old friends that I grew up with. I'd like to encourage everyone to follow Kelly on Twitter at keshudo and look for her book on her website, kellyshudo.ca. I will put all her links under the podcast notes. As always, please visit mentoringnatureconnections.ca for teaching resources. Until next time, go get your hands dirty and have fun with Mentoring Nature Connections.